Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is one of my favorite people, Miss Betty Hersey, the Executive Director of DME Exchange of Dallas, a nonprofit organization that distributes medical equipment to individuals in need. Miss Betty, how are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I just had to have you back on because you guys do such a great job. For those who don't know, and I'm going to let you explain a little bit better, but DME provides the relief of pain and suffering for people with acute injury or illnesses, and they provide the independence and self-sufficiency and mobility of people with chronic illnesses. You will collect, refurbish, sanitize, and distribute used durable medical equipment. Let me repeat that. Used or gently used durable medical equipment. That's what DME stands for, durable medical equipment, to residences of Dallas County who cannot afford to purchase it or rent it. Miss Betty, you guys do such a wonderful job, and you're so under the radar. I think more people need to know about that you're around, that you exist, and primarily because everybody just assumes when you check out of the hospital, you get everything you need that can make you comfortable and help your rehab and recovery. And that's not true.
That's absolutely right. And you did a beautiful job of explaining our mission statement. We like to look at our agency as a positive influence on the donor, on the community, on the recipient. And of course, we get the smiles and the God bless yous here in the agency that everybody else gets. But we certainly are appreciated by the people we serve.
And can you talk about the people you serve again? Because there's this misunderstanding, I think, amongst the public, the general public, that, you know, you go to the hospital and they help you out, and if you don't have the correct insurance, you might not get what you need to leave the hospital. Can you explain that process of what people think or what normally happens and how you guys step in?
Well, and I think you're exactly right. The fact that most people, when they go to the hospital, they have some sort of insurance, most people think, and that if you need a walker or if you need shower chair or something like that to take a shower, that you'll just get it because your insurance company takes care of it. Well, the alarming fact, and it has been since I have been at this agency since 2013, is that Texas, and Dallas in particular, has the highest number of uninsured individuals in the entire country.
Oh, my.
And what that means is, you know, I think it's one in four people don't have insurance coverage. But what that means is that when you get ready to leave the hospital and you need something like a walker to keep you from falling, to help you recover, you don't have access to that. There's no way for you to get it, which means in order for you to have a successful recovery and not show up again with, having had a fall on top of whatever else you're recovering from, you have to have the right and the appropriate durable medical equipment, or DME, as we say. And that means if you don't have insurance, either a nurse or a social worker spends their time on the phone trying to find somebody who will donate it to them. And you can imagine vendors can only donate so much. And when you multiply that by the numerous requests that are coming from each individual hospital, each floor of each hospital, that means that that's a considerable amount of time that is put forth trying to find the right kind of equipment so that this person can go home and recover. And it could be an accident, could be an illness, it could be, you know, a heart attack, something tragic that has just happened. It could be the onset of old age, which means it's going to be chronic, or it could be a degenerative condition. There are lots of reasons that people need equipment. And if you don't have access, if you don't have insurance, then you are just out of luck.
Right. So and people have no idea.
It's a better use of the nurse's time, the social worker's time, to go on and help the next patient rather than spending their time on the phone trying to find what the patient who is recovered enough to go home, you know, trying to find equipment for them. So, and plus, the person who can't afford to be in the hospital is collecting more debt.
Yeah.
So we like to help. We like to think that we have been a help to nearly everyone in the process.
It's an amazing thing that you do. And I actually found those numbers you were talking about. Dallas County, you know, everybody knows everybody's moving to Texas, but Dallas County in particular is the ninth largest county in America. Dallas County added 39,809 people from July 2008 to 2009. And that was way a long time ago. And we're showing how it's just even grown since then. 33.
No, I was going to say between 25 and 50,000 people show up in the hospital and don't have access to DME annually.
That is just amazing. And again, these numbers just are staggering. Dallas County, 33.2% of residents under the age of 65 have no medical coverage. This percentage is higher than that for the whole state of Texas, which in turn has the highest overall uninsured rate of any state in the nation. We always say things are bigger and better in Texas. Well, that's bigger, but that's not necessarily better.
Absolutely.
And by contrast, nationally, 17% of residents under the age of 65 have no medical coverage. None. Over 40% of the Dallas County population, that's over a million people, have income below 200% of the federal poverty limit. That's the FPL. Of those numbers below the FPL, an estimated 50% of them, 500,000 people, are uninsured. That's just, it really doesn't make sense for a city that's growing so well and so many people moving here, corporations, and yet it's like a little secret that nobody really knows about until they're checking out of the hospital.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, many of them are there. You know, it was an unplanned accident, unplanned illness. You know, they didn't plan to go to the hospital. You know, it's not something that they could really avoid. And they're stuck there simply because they can't, they don't have access to the DME and they can't leave the hospital until they do. So now, it's really what we do makes it better for the hospitals, the patients, the community, because you see people who do recover generally quicker at home with family around.
Right.
And then, you know, you don't want them to fall. You don't want them to have another accident on top of what they're already recovering from. That puts them back in the hospital where they really didn't need to be in the first place.
Exactly.
So, and then that just adds to the debt that they've got.
And not all insurance covers this in particular, the DME. You know about Medicare,
no,
Medicaid? Does it cover it at all? Maybe limited?
There's things that, what we call gaps in coverage, and that means generally most insurance companies do not cover shower chairs or raised toilet seats or tub transfer benches, things like that. And it's just a given. Parkland Hospital does an amazing job of covering indigent patients, but their insurance that they can offer to the individual or the coverage that they can offer them does not include DME. So Parkland's kind of behind the eight ball starting out. I mean, they know when they have a patient, and that's their mission, is to cover the public that they're going to have problems finding what this person needs. And to make sure that they have everything, you know, on their dismissal.
Go ahead.
That's where we come in.
Yeah, you come in so nicely. And again, this is something that people don't really think about, but they really should think about, especially in this day and age. I call it the gig economy, because there's a lot of people under the age of 30 that actually, you know, they have gigs. They don't have the quote unquote traditional 9-to-5 job. A lot of them don't want it that way. Some of them do. They want the flexibility. But a lot of these particular occupations do not have, like, great health benefits. And then I'm also looking at the population, and I want you to elaborate on this. There are families that make a good living, and their insurance is not that great, and they're not prepared for an emergency because, literally, they're quietly living check to check. Can you talk about some of those situations that you come across?
Well, and we see this every day.
Yeah.
It's people who just sometimes they're working two jobs. And it, like I said, it is really a disruption to their family if they have to go to the hospital, spend time away from their job, away from their family for any length of time. It puts a huge burden on the family as well as on their finances. So a family that was just sort of struggling by, just sort of making it, is then, you know, sort of a crisis situation. But the nice thing about it is to add some incentive, because we're a nonprofit agency, we can provide a tax receipt to those people who have had durable medical equipment and no longer needed. If they're recovering from a broken leg or something, you know, along those lines, they donate it to us. If it's gently used, we can give them a tax receipt, which gives them sort of an incentive or a perk to provide it to us. Secondly, you know, we turn around and do some minor repairs. We're not set up to do major repairs. But those things that have been used gently, we do refurbish, and then we sanitize. That's one of the things that you don't get. Some of the churches have what they call closets, or some of the organizations, just because they've worked with patients before over a long period of time and know that they do need some help. But they're not able to do the sort of sanitization that we do that is required by the state in order to make sure that you're not passing germs, you know, that you're adding illness to what you already have to that equipment, which, you know, is being transferred with good intentions.
Sure.
But still, it causes another problem.
We're talking again with Betty Hersey. She's the executive director of DME, the Exchange of Dallas, and it's a nonprofit organization that distributes medical equipment to individuals in need. And you mentioned the gently used equipment, which is the other part of the equation. You know, people with families, members or whatever, who, you know, wind up using the equipment and then they don't know what to do with it later. you're saying right. Don't throw it away and don't just keep it, you know,
or let it sit
in the back
in the garage.
Room. Yeah, don't let it sit in the garage or up in the attic. There's a place that can actually, you can actually help change some people's lives. Can you explain that a little bit more? You were elaborating right there, but I wanted you to just kind of explain a little bit more, because sometimes people just don't even think, well, you know what? You know, my granddad doesn't have, he had that walker and he doesn't use it anymore. Or my mom, she had the shower chair and she doesn't use that anymore. Or whatever it may be, a wheelchair, even a wheelchair, right?
Right. Right. And those are pretty hard to come by. It's a lot of people don't know what to do. They feel bad about just throwing it in
right.
the trash heap
mm-hmm.
because they know it's still usable. It has some life left in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we offer to give them a tax receipt, you know, they enjoy that. They also enjoy helping out the community. I'll give you a story.
Okay.
We had a fellow who came in one time and he was unable to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in with his wife and two young daughters, really nice men. And we gave him a wheelchair. He was so excited and so happy. This meant that he didn't have to sit in a chair all day. This meant that he could be a participant in his family's activities. His daughters were they were crying.
I can imagine.
They said, oh, God, bless you. I mean, you don't know how much this has impacted our lives. They went out in the parking lot and they took a picture of him in his new wheelchair. And the girls were sitting on the arms of it so that they could be close to their dad. And
wow.
I mean, it just meant a whole different world to him. Things had opened up and he could participate again. He could go outside.
He wasn't just sitting at the desk or sitting at the
He
wasn't just sitting at the dining room table or sitting in the chair in the bedroom. I hear you.
Right. Yeah. But it made such an impact on their lives and he was thrilled. So you know, when you see that over and over, and the people who come to us
mm-hmm.
truly are extremely grateful, very kind people,
mm-hmm.
and they're not the stereotypes that you hear about. They are people who are trying to get on with their lives.
That's right.
And they're having problems.
They could be your neighbors.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing.
Or the parents.
Right. Or the parents of your neighbors. Or even the kids of mm-hmm. your neighbors. You just never know who's got a struggle. And again, these struggles may be temporary. And that's the other part about mm-hmm. it. You know, as I mentioned, they're like families that, you know, they do well, but, you know, quietly they got credit card debt or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, there's this equipment that they need after somebody in the family had to go to the hospital. And it's like, wait a mm-hmm. minute, what do we do now? And literally, they really don't know what to do. So, you know, they're combing through their insurance. This is why we have you on the show, Miss Betty, because people who are listening are like, wow, that's me, or I know somebody like that, or, you know, you think, well, let's go talk to the church. That's the first thing you probably think. Well, let me go see if the church has any answers. And sometimes the churches either do know about you guys or they don't. Can you talk about how any kind of relationship you might have with some of the churches?
Oh, yeah. We have had some really wonderful church support. First Unitarian Church has always been very good to us. King of Glory
mm-hmm.
Lutheran Church has been supportive. Temple Emmanuel. We have a number of churches and synagogues who have supported us over the years, either with some kind of a collection day or, you know, some of them give us some funding, but, you know, it's not a huge amount of funding, but it makes a difference to us. And it's something that we know that we can count on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just nonprofits tough these days.
Oh, yeah, it is very tough. And these times, this side of the pandemic, even though the economy is getting a little bit better, things are very, very expensive still. And that's why it's so important that you're around. One other note, a couple of days ago, it was North Texas Day of Giving, where all the different nonprofits were able to make people aware of what they have going on. And that was just a few days ago. I hope it was pretty good for you guys, too.
Well, you know, we have gotten some funds in from that. It's not anything right now that, you know, is going
significant
to fund your agency all year. But
it's
some funding that you would not normally get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very helpful. And one of the big problems is there's so many choices. There's so many people.
Oh, yeah, on
one
day.
Many agencies available. Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone has their own interest,
sure,
you know, in different things.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is we're not darling children or kitties or puppies. And so we really compete for funds.
Oh, I can imagine. And that's another reason why I wanted to have you on, as people are kind of like in that giving mode. I mean, you know, end of September, giving mode. We're now into October, but usually people aren't even thinking that way until we get to the holidays again. Is that the pattern that you've kind of noticed in the nonprofit world, that, you know, people kind of think about it during the holidays, or they think about it during, you know, certain months that are for that particular nonprofit?
Sure. Nonprofits get the bulk of their money in the last month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's pretty tough to pay staff and run an agency when you don't know how much money you're going to have month to month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it is difficult. But that's, you know, if you're a nonprofit person, that's just who you are.
Right. That's just part of the challenge.
You fight that battle.
You have a very empathetic heart and soul, and you believe in giving, and that's just part of the process. It's part of the challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that takes
me to... And we appreciate every donor.
Every single donor. Which leads me to, you mentioned that you started with DME back in 2013. What made you join the DME and wind up being the executive director? We want to hear your story, because people always like to, you know, hear the stories of how people get involved in different nonprofit organizations and what pushes their buttons or touches their hearts.
I guess I have always been a nonprofit person. I have a daughter who has Down syndrome,
mm-hmm,
and I have been on, you know, area, state, national boards. I've been doing this for a while, and I really believe in anything that will level the playing field.
Yeah.
Certainly, it wasn't my daughter's fault that she was born with this condition. And so, as a parent, you want to provide as much of a normal life as you can for your child. You want them to be a part of the world. You don't want them left home, you know, sitting, wondering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the school movement now where you send your kids to typical neighborhood schools. When my kids were first starting at school, that was new. That didn't happen until the 70s with the when they developed 94-142 or IDEA. And then kids started going to public school. Before mm-hmm. that, they really weren't accepted there, and they were sort of relegated to private school.
Right, or homeschooling or something. Yeah.
Afford that.
Yeah.
So anyway, my whole life, prior to being here, I was with Reading and Radio Resource, and that was recording books. We had a radio station, and
okay,
it was for people who were no longer able to read for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I've been doing this for over 40 years. And anything that I can do to help people have a better life, I enjoy doing.
I can tell. And again, you're right there in the trenches, especially with, like I said, the gently used equipment that people need when they get out of the hospital. Can you talk about how anybody else might want to volunteer with you, or how over the years you've had people? I mean, I know it's kind of tricky.
We're sort of, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's kind of tricky, so I wanted you to go ahead and elaborate a little bit.
Okay. The three things that we need is obviously the equipment. The second thing we need is funds to mm-hmm. keep the lights on, to pay the salaries, to buy the the things that we need to do to fix the equipment. We have a van that we provide some delivery service. It's limited simply because we're so small.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need volunteers, and that is something that is really critical. We don't have the funds to pay a huge staff of people, and we rely on, as Tennessee Williams used to say, the kindness of others.
Oh, yeah.
To help us with those efforts. And, I mean, we always have a pot of coffee going, and it really is kind of fun if you come in with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in one time a week. You can come in six times a week. You can, come in one time a year. We're pretty flexible. But we do need the help with preparing these items. We also need help with, PR, with marketing, just everything that you can think of that a nonprofit or a business would need. So volunteers, equipment, and money all have the same base for us.
Right.
They have the same value. Mm-hmm. There's one that's not any more important than the other, and we need all three.
You know what? A lot of people put it like this. We either need your time, your talent, or your treasure, and they're all equal to us. They're
Absolutely.
All that important. They're all that important. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, the treasure. And, some people make donations individually. But there's also, entire churches or organizations that might partner with you, right? They can do that.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. We do sponsor on occasion. We have churches who will come in and do a work day.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, the staff at Parkland, and we've had staff from Baylor and several
good.
Other places will come in. And all of a sudden, when they call and they say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have that right now. We've already given that out. They know what it takes if they've volunteered to process something. And they
yeah.
know how thorough we are.
Right.
So, they have a better appreciation.
You know what? You're saying this, and it just made me think of something. There are lots of major corporations that actually listen to this show, heads of different corporations,
mm-hmm.
and they have days of service where their staff,
mm-hmm.
They can get credit for giving or for helping or volunteering. And
yes.
they might actually do a joint thing where the entire staff, maybe 50 or 60 people or whatever, 20, they all come out in a particular go to an organization and they help out, whether it's serving food or whether it's doing things out in a garden or just whatever it is, just all the different kind of things where you can give back. And so this might be an opportunity mm-hmm. for a group like that, right? Where you have an organization that likes to volunteer and give credits and stuff.
We have a small space. So we could only get so many volunteers at a time,
mm-hmm.
but there's lots of things that they can do, lots of places that we can put them. And, we like it because it creates an appreciation, as I said,
mm-hmm.
of the process that has to go on. And then they tell their friends. And that is wonderful for us. And maybe we'll get a full-time volunteer out of it.
Exactly.
So it's,
and I just
Pretty
thought
exciting.
Of it. I just thought of another one. Okay, a lot of people, we're talking about a lot of people tend to think of the nonprofits at the end of the year, and they write off certain things, mm-hmm. bigger businesses or even people who have a little bit more to give. But there's always a group that are like collecting food for people who are, hungry. And we're talking about around Thanksgiving and turkeys and having turkey drives or clothes drives. You can have like a medical equipment drive, gently used. You could,
right?
Somebody, like you said, you could hire somebody or not hire somebody. You could have somebody join your staff as a volunteer that knows some marketing ideas and maybe is really good with social media, and to get the word out where it's we can collect all of these different, you know, the different, how do I describe these again? The durable medical equipment that you collect to take care of the people who can't.
All the different pieces, yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice this time of the year too. I'm saying it out loud because sometimes when people hear it while they're driving around or while they're at home listening on the radio, they want, you know, I could do that or I could help out with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's just different ways that you can make an impact.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate people who are willing to help or have ideas or bring funds.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is appreciated.
It's just fantastic when you think about it. Now, I know you've got a thing coming up, actually, the first Sunday in October, October 1st, there's a fundraiser you're doing out on White Rock Lake.
Yes. This is the second year for that. We have the Spirit of Dallas. It's a boat that provides cruises or tours of White Rock Lake, and it's about an hour and a half.
Oh, nice.
And
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Holds about 36 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we are selling tickets to that and are really looking forward to it. It's been so hot this summer that we're all sort of excited about being able to get out now.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad the weather's changed a little bit. Even if it's just a little bit, I'll take it.
Me too.
So how can they find out more information about this cruise? Because that sounds exciting. And those are the kind of fundraisers that people like to be involved in.
Yes. It'll be the 1st of October. It's from 2 to 3:30. We'll meet there at White Rock Lake, you know, where they have all of the different boats and boat clubs.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have some finger food.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably are going to tell a few tales about White Rock Lake since I grew up here and so did our board president.
Are you going to talk about that ghost?
Yeah.
I heard about
that
ghost.
And the paddle boats that we used to ride.
Yeah.
And some of us even know where there's some pretty good parking places.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know what? You want to hear something funny? You want to hear something funny? You bring up my kids. Me and my wife used to bring our kids to play at that little playground over there at White Rock Lake, the one that overlooked the lake, mm-hmm. with the swing sets and all that. I have a lot of great memories.
Oh, stone tables? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we didn't even live in the White Rock Lake area. I just thought it was so pretty. It'd just be a nice thing to do, get out of the house.
Yeah, it is. They've got some great things to do. They now have a rowing club.
Is that right?
They have all kinds of opportunities and exercising areas and some really nice eating places now.
Oh, for sure.
So, it's a great place to be.
Well, let me tell you something.
So
everybody needs to be out there.
If anybody was interested, they could go to our website, mm-hmm. which is dfwdmeexchange.org, and that'll give you opportunity to learn a little bit more about it and the ability to donate.
Exactly. For those who don't know, again, we're talking with Miss Betty Hershey. She's the executive director of DME Exchange of Dallas, and they help provide relief from pain and suffering for people with acute injury or illness, and try to help improve their independence, their self-sufficiency, and mobility. The people with chronic illnesses, collecting and refurbishing and sanitizing and distributing gently used durable medical equipment, DME. And this is for residents all over Dallas County. And again, I admire what you do, because people just don't know about that. They just think, okay, I go to the hospital. You know, the hospital gets me the equipment that I need. Uh-oh, not everything. And so you guys really,
right.
you really, and again, you get, like you said, the joy of knowing that you've helped change some people's lives, right?
Yes, absolutely. And their caretakers. You know, we've saved quite a few backs.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Do you have any kind of relationships with some of the senior citizen facilities?
Absolutely. Senior citizens, we have sort of a reciprocal
relationship
agreement.
Yeah.
They give us, sometimes their people will come in and they don't need a walker anymore, or mm-hmm. they don't need something, and they'll give it to them thinking it would be helpful. Well, they don't have any place to put it or people to give it to, and they can't, you know, do the sanitization that they need to. So they provide that to us, and we in turn give them all of the Depends, the bed pads, you know, all those kinds of objects that we get. So it's a nice way to share.
It really is. And again, you're helping a lot of people, offering solutions and not just pointing out a problem. I like the fact that you're solution driven. I just totally enjoy that. So, Miss Betty, thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. You're always a pleasure to visit with. And you got to do it again.
Well,
okay.
I'd love to. So it really, thank you so much for allowing us to be on the air.
For sure. Miss Betty Hershey, she's the executive director of DME Exchange of Dallas. Thank you, Miss Betty. And joining us right now is Miss Chantali Inamdar. And did I say that correctly, Chantali?
Yes, you nearly got it.
Let me pronounce your last name properly. I will repeat after you.
Inamdar.
Chantali Inamdar. I'm going to get that
yes.
right. I promise you, by the time our conversation is over with, she's with BAPS Charities, B-A-P-S Charities. It's a Hindu Heritage Month in October, celebrating
yes.
the contributions and culture of the Hindu community. And also, there is a brand new temple in New Jersey that everybody's talking about. Can you please tell us about the temple at first, and then we'll talk about Hindu Month?
Absolutely, Chris. It's an honor to be on here. So thank you again for having me.
Oh, for sure.
To talk about the temple, I mean, gosh, where to start? So I will say it has been a 12-year journey in the making. And it is a Hindu place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Akshardham, BAPS Swaminarayan Akshardham Mandir. And it is also, if you loosely translate what it actually stands for, it is the divine abode of God. And we are here to celebrate that place of worship, not just for the Hindu community, but it's for the world at large. Because when you think about what a place like Akshardham stands for on American soil, it's truly a testament to the American democracy, as
mm-hmm.
well as the religious freedom that we have here, right? To practice our faith and remain rooted in our culture and our values, and be able to do that while fully integrating with the American society around us. So it's truly an honor to have this ability, to have this Hindu place of worship and a landmark of Hindu architecture and culture, celebrating the Indian traditions right here in America.
I've seen some of the pictures. It's not quite completed yet, but it's been absolutely amazing. How long has it been taken to complete it? And I understand there have been people from all over the country, like over 12,000 people, volunteering their services to build this thing.
Yes. And Chris, so it has been about 12 years. Efforts started back in 2011.
Wow.
And so it has been a slow and steady progress. You know, when you come to visit, you'll see the size and scale of the efforts that have gone about in the making. And those 12,500 volunteers, as you mentioned, they've come from all over the nation,
even
all
here
across
in Texas.
The world.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We've had Texans, you know, join us and, mm-hmm. and be a part of this effort, which has been incredible because there's people of all different backgrounds, Chris. You're talking doctors, lawyers, professionals. There's graphic designers, illustrators, artists, you name it, project managers like myself who have been a part of this effort. And it's truly so humbling to be able to work with them and be there for the shared singular vision of our spiritual leader.
This is what's so amazing. I was just seeing the videos, and again, I'm like, this is not even completely finished yet, but it's absolutely very, very close. It's taken all these years. It's so grand, and it offers more than just the sculptures. Can you talk about the different things that are inside or the different things that people might be able to do as they tour it?
Absolutely, Chris. I'd love to kind of give you almost a visual of what you can expect when you just enter the campus and the premises of Akshardham.
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, you know, you're entering this space, which is surrounded by beautiful landscape and flowers and fauna that immediately kind of leave you to think that, okay, those worries about getting the groceries or that meeting tomorrow can be parked out here. And mm-hmm. you walk in, you drive in perhaps, and you see this 49 feet tall sacred image of Bhagwan Swaminarayan, to whom the entire campus is dedicated. And its teenage form actually standing in a yogic posture. And that in itself, just looking at that image, fills you with so much calm and peace. And then there you have, you know, just behind that image is a traditional Indian stepwell, which has beautiful fountains and waters from over 300 bodies of water that are just flowing in there, and the sounds of that, you know, combined with the scent of like the incense sticks that are lit in front of the sacred image, it all just puts you in this like meditative state where mm-hmm. you feel like you have truly come outside of your normal day to day, the hustle bustle of your daily life, and perhaps even feel like you've stepped into India itself.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, beyond those two initial locations, there's the Welcome Center, which is completely ornate with wood that was sourced from Burma, and it's hand-carved. And it's got so much symbolism, so much meaning in each little intricate carving that it just transports you to the 17th century architectural style, which is called the Haveli architecture. And so all of these pieces and elements, you know, you get to witness some of the rituals, the religious ceremonies that are part of the Hindu culture. And it's truly just altogether an immersive experience. Mind you, there's also great food, great Indian food.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the back end of that experience, or the front end, however you choose. And it just completely gives you this immersive experience of having gone to India, while you'll have saved yourself perhaps 20 hours in travel time and just come to New Jersey.
It's so amazing that you bring that up, because all I was visualizing was, you were saying, is like, this is similar, not as grand, I'm sure, but close to the Taj Mahal. Mm-hmm. It's making you visualize the Taj Mahal, even though the Taj Mahal is so epic. It's like the Great Wall of China. It's like the pyramids in Egypt. I mean, it's up there. So you don't have to necessarily go to India to see something that is so miraculous and so incredible. It is here in the United States.
I would still say go see that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure that holds its own beauty.
That's a bucket list, yes.
Truly, truly an architectural marvel. But I think that the commonality, if I may, Chris, mm-hmm. in both of those structures, you know, Akshardham and Taj Mahal and the rest of the grand places around us, it's what makes it unique is the love with which it's made, right?
Right.
The intent with which it's made. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's truly what Akshardham, for all the volunteers, including myself, it's a testament to this camaraderie. It's a testament to the greatness that can be achieved when enough hearts and minds come together, you know, for a collective vision. And I want to share, because this is very personal to me, as I've been a part of BAPS since practically birth, I would say.
Okay.
And you know, it's the vision of our spiritual leader, Pramukh Swami Maharaj. He envisioned this place for this Akshardham to be a place where people can feel peace and inspiration to lead a better life. And I think that is just such a universal message. It does not limit itself to a group of people. It does not limit itself to a group of community even. It's so much more grand beyond just that. And I think that's the excitement that we share. That's the love we share as we make this Akshardham and come to the closing ceremonies in the next few days.
You know what's so interesting about this? Again, we're talking about this, and the bottom line is selfless service. Am I wrong? Is it about service and volunteerism and the whole, that's what kind of the number one, not the number one, but one of the majority things about Hinduism is selfless service.
Yes. And Chris, selfless service is truly at the core. It's in our DNA as Hindus, as humans, I would say, right? This
everybody.
Collective spirit to want to give back in ways that can benefit the greater community. Because if you have something that God has given you, why not share that, right? Why not make the most of it and benefit others as well, just as God has blessed you with those things.
I mean, it's just what people do. They care about each other. It's about empathy. And again, what can you do to help out? How can you help your community? How can you bring people together? And this is just another way. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add to that. And it's actually a perfect opportunity to share with you, Chris. You may be interested to know that in the same spirit of service, you know, through the course of the last several months, as we've geared up to prepare for the opening ceremonies of Akshardham, we've hosted two very significant events, again, in the same spirit of service to give back to the local community.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 75-day long blood drive that we've been running. Yeah. And it's incredible because, I mean, it was the need of the hour. You know, you were hearing in the reports that there's a blood shortage, especially around the summer months and especially here in New Jersey. So it was great to get an opportunity to partner with some of the local institutions and, you know, set this goal of collecting over 6,000 pints of blood to save up to 8,000 lives. And it's been incredible to see the kind of turnout that we've had because there's been so many devotees, well-wishers, volunteers here for the mandir and for the preparations that each of them have chosen to tend to this calling, you know, equally. That while we're helping to build this mandir in the premises of Akshardham, you know, we want to make a mandir within our hearts too. And that means to give back and that means to continuously practice this inclination towards service and this action of giving back. And so it's been incredible to see that. The second initiative has been the Days of Giving campaign, Chris. Mm-hmm. And that has been a very sweet initiative, actually, because there's school supplies and hygiene products and food cans that are being collected by, again, individuals who are coming, flying across the nation to be here for these celebrations. So we've just hit our 10,000 item mark as of last week, and it's been so humbling to see how much people have in their hearts to want to give.
It's absolutely amazing, as you mentioned, the 75 Days of Hope, the blood drive. Here in Dallas-Fort Worth, I've been to the temple in Irving, and they've already told me they've got 70 people who've been to New Jersey and are being a part of all of this to Akshardham. And
yes,
the whole thing is, it's the community listens to this show all the time, and they feel a big part of this. And their number one goal is to have a commonality of diverse backgrounds with people in the society, and they just want everybody to understand about the service and volunteerism that they have. And at the end of October, the times that I've been out there, that's when they have all of the food and the festival outside. And it's just been absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show in particular, to show about the nationwide and worldwide impact.
Yes. And you mentioned Diwali, Chris. Mm-hmm. That's going to be another another marvel to kind of behold. Yes, you know, just all across the nation, especially at Akshardham, as it'll be its first to celebrate here in mid-November this year. Mm-hmm. So you're most welcome. I'm sure you'll visit the Dallas Mandir, but also do consider joining us here in Akshardham as well.
I've been invited. I'm telling you, if I could get myself to the East Coast, which I do quite often, my in-laws actually live in the New York area, so they just never know. And, you know, Parish Patel down here, he's invited me to go to New Jersey with him, so I might do that. But I'll give you one more. Ironically, the first week in October, I will be going to the United Arab Emirates and visiting a temple there. I'll be going with the NBA and the Dallas Mavericks organization. So I'm all about it. I can't wait to see, because I'm all about people getting together. I just enjoy the fact that people love to volunteer. And I like the fact that your faith is the basis of it. In fact, can you talk a little bit more about Hindu Heritage Month and about how the faith, this is such a recognition of what you celebrate, the contributions and culture and heritage of Hinduism and the Hindu community?
Absolutely, Chris. I think it's such a perfect irony that the opening of Akshardham falls within the Hindu Heritage Month, right? What are the odds? Mm-hmm. But it's a perfect alignment, because when you think about Hinduism on the broadest level possible, there's this one principle that unites us all, and that is Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. And it means that the world is one family. And that's the principle that each of us embody, each of us try to live by and remember each day, because mm-hmm. that's the unifying and the underlining factor in all the efforts and all the spiritual journeys and all the sevas, the selfless services that we perform, right? That unifying factor that the world is one family. And so helping the family members in need, helping each other, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, in all those ways, we are united. And so I think this is a perfect testament to also Akshardham, because like I was saying earlier, that it's not just for a particular community. It's open to all right. visitors, irrespective of your background, your faith, your race, religion. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Akshardham is open to you.
That's right. It's beyond being the largest Hindu mandir in the United States. Its purpose is to serve as an iconic representation of unity, culture, and service, gracefully connecting India's rich heritage with contemporary America. Did I say that right?
That was beautiful, Chris. Yes. Thank you for capturing all our sentiments in that statement.
I'm trying my best, because I've actually, like I said, I've been to the temple here in DFW, and it's just absolutely amazing. And you know, I'm going to pull the curtain back. Can I go ahead and pull the curtain back?
Go for it.
Way back when I was a small child, I was really into the Beatles, the music, right? Mm-hmm. And they went to India, and George Harrison was visiting with Swamis. And I was like, I've got to find out more.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So did I strike a nerve a little bit? I was like, I've just really been impressed with the whole Hindu experience. I'm not saying I'm an expert by any means, but I've always been fascinated.
When you said that, Chris, I just remembered an image I saw in a museum in London, is it maybe about 5 years ago, where it's George Harrison with Ravi Shankar mm-hmm. posing together. And that's probably symbolic of that visit itself.
Yeah. I mean, your religion has influenced some of the greatest music in the world. And everybody knows the George Harrison story. If you haven't, just please Google it up. George Harrison was so influenced to the day he died. I mean, he was all about it. So, again, wow. I'm just grinning as I'm saying this, because you just like I said, strikes a nerve with me.
Yeah, and I think it is ultimately those universal principles, right? That mm-hmm. that who isn't here for that unity? You know, who isn't right. here for that harmony, so that we can all thrive together, right? Help each other and thrive yes. together as a collective. Yeah.
Could you explain to those who aren't familiar what exactly the Swamis are and what they do? Because I've met a few Swamis, and I've actually had a little bracelet they gave me and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Swamis are actually a spiritual guide to us mm-hmm. in the satsang, as we call it, at BAPS. And they have chosen to renounce the world in many ways, you know, their families, their possessions, any worldly impact. So they renounce wealth as well.
They're kind of like,
it is a choice.
Yeah, they're kind of like priests in the Catholic world, maybe.
You could make that comparison, but perhaps it may not do it full justice. I would say, because there's nuances in each aspect. So
sure.
I would say that the renunciation is around all worldly possessions, and it's again a choice that they make to be able to stay focused on their spiritual path, you know, prioritize their spiritual journeys in a way that allows them to get closer to the divine, but in the same effect allows them to serve back and serve the community as well. So they're equally as much volunteers, you know, as are the rest of us. But there's a focus around the dedication, there's a focus around the commitment to the spiritual path, which is the distinguishing factor, I would say.
Can you talk about, now I know that he's not exactly totally, or he's got a different interpretation. Mahatma Gandhi, he's Hindu, but he had a little bit of a different interpretation. Could you talk about how he fits in with the Hindu world?
So I am not 100% sure if I will do justice to that answer, Chris.
Okay, okay.
So I don't know if I want to take that.
No worries. I just threw that out there because he's a familiar figure and a lot of people love him. And I just threw that out there.
Yes, no. And, you know, his teachings about be the change you wish to see in the world.
I think
that resonates with all of us in so many ways. And if I can link that back to Pramukh Swami Maharaj, you know, his ability to channel the compassion he had for people and individuals all around the world into action and mobilize that into action is an ability that reminds me of some of those values that, you know, we talked about when we hear about the kind of efforts that Gandhiji led as well. And, you know, the example that comes to mind is the 2001 earthquake in India when Pramukh Swami Maharaj was able to mobilize so many efforts to collectively, you know, come to the aid of those in need at such a crucial hour. And again, it's all about being the change we wish to see in the world and inspiring that kind of action in thousands of individuals around you is truly a noble achievement.
It's all about the noble achievement. It's all about people sharing and people volunteering and selfless service. And it's a big thing, especially for future generations, because that's basically we are all who we have. Basically, we got to take care of each other if we're going to make this world a better place.
So true, Chris.
Are there any upcoming events that we didn't touch on over the next month or so? Because there's so many good things and a lot of people listen if they don't have the chance to make it up to New Jersey, can you talk about some more about some of the things that they can do in their own communities?
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, I would still highly recommend a visit to New Jersey, even if it's not so near in future, because you've just got to come and see this, you know, for yourself, experience
and take
it.
Pictures.
And take pictures and truly immerse yourself in this experience. But I will say that the ability to give back and the ability to affect the change, you know, the ways in which we work with each other, the love and compassion that I've seen, the love and respect that I've seen in the individuals and the volunteers who have worked here to build this Akshardham, those are principles that we're all going to take back with us to our professional lives, to our families, to our communities. And you can do that no matter where you are, right? Practicing that level of compassion and kindness with one another is the best gift that we can give each other. And so keeping that in mind, you know, there's also, I want to talk to the events that are coming up here.
Sure.
With October 8th being the grand opening, there's a lot of events leading up to it. So there's the celebration of our Indian culture and Heritage Day. We're also, in fact, celebrating the Nonviolence Day to honor Martin Luther King's teachings, along with Mahatma Gandhi's teachings on that very day. There's the Interfaith Harmony, we're also celebrating the spiritual legacy of our guru Pramukh Swami Maharaj, and it's just going to be such a happy moment for so many of us who have been a part of this making in the last 12 years. And beyond October 8th, once Akshardham is open to the public, there will be the Diwali festivities, as we were talking about earlier, in November. So certainly look out for that. We will certainly share the dates, and you're more than welcome to visit here as well as your local centers in Dallas.
Most definitely. I mean, it's been a pleasure talking to you, reminding everybody again, the 75 Days of Hope, the blood drive, the days of giving, the volunteerism, the selfless service. And October, again, is Hindu Heritage Month. We're all about it. Chitali, did I leave anything out? Is there any kind of a website where people can find out more information about BAPS Charities?
Yes, actually, if you go to bapscharities.org, that will give you the latest and greatest on some of our activities here. And if you'd like to learn more about Akshardham, you can go on our social media channel on Instagram, actually. The account handle is called Akshardham USA.
Oh, my goodness. Again, you've got to see it with your own eyes. But to tease it forward, if you see it online and see any of the videos, the architecture is absolutely amazing. And again, you just kind of visualize the Taj Mahal, which is even greater. But you just say to yourself, wow, this is like something that's unbelievable. All these years in the making, with all these different volunteers from literally all over the United States, it's like you just have to see it with your own eyes. And I know you have, right?
Yes, I've had the fortune to, yes.
How long have you personally been working on the project in your own way? Because I know everybody's doing something in their own way.
Yeah, and Chris, so I've been able to take a 4-month sabbatical to be here and just volunteer in this final stretch. Outside of that, over the last 10 years, I've been able to volunteer part-time to help in its making, and it's just such a heartwarming moment for this culmination to be, that is the grand opening.
And the grand opening again is when?
October 8th.
October 8th. It's a busy, busy, busy time. And we are so glad you had a chance to stop down with us. Chitali, thank you so much. And again, thank all of you for listening to Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact in North Texas and across the United States. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody. Thank you again for joining us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.